My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's talk to our man Titus, 916-909-1320. Titus, what's good, baby?
What's up with y'all? How y'all doing?
We good, big dog. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Now, I agree with the Mitchell. He's firing everything, but I feel like if we was to get Mitchell, that makes our backcourt small.
Oh, yeah, I was kind of joking about that, but I hear you.
Oh, okay. But now y'all been saying that for a few days now. But now the Ingram and Kuzma, but really Bobby Portis, that'd be the best one for us because then we get a dog. And he's going to play D2 and he can score. And he's going to feel like he can play with it. You know,
I like Bobby Portis.
So he's going to feel like, you feel me? Then he bring championship experience. Uh-huh. And then I wanted, and you know, I got to hate on Harrison Barnes first. I come from Iowa. Look, you know, I'm from here, but I had lived out in Ames for years.
Yeah.
So I've been watching Harrison, and I hear you saying he's going to be fired off the bench next year. Bruh, his career, I mean, like his skill set, I think is going to go down. Mm-hmm. I don't think Harrison's about to get any better.
No, I don't think he's going to get better either, but I think what he provides right now at this point in his career is on the higher end, like a higher end bench player. You know what I mean? Like if he plays the same way he played last year as your sixth or seventh man, you're kind of winning in that situation. You know what I mean? Because you don't typically get maybe your sixth man, but your seventh man or something like that. You don't get them averaging 10, 11 points a game, you know, giving solid play like that. Now minutes will be down. Maybe he won't have those same type of numbers. But I hear what you're saying, Titus. I think Harrison, for as much as people get frustrated with him and all this other stuff, I still do feel like he's a little overqualified for a bench guy, if that makes any sense. Like, I still think he's a starter in this league. You know what I mean? And if he's on the bench, you're almost getting a starter caliber player to come off the bench.
You're talking about Harrison?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are quick to move him to the bench. I don't think he's like – I think he's still a starter in this league.
He's a starter, but in the right – on the right team. He's not a starter – well, like he's not fit for the role in the Kings just because the Kings do need more out of that spot. Right. I don't think Harrison can give them what they need right now. But you throw him on a team, like if you were to hide him on like the Celtics or just throw like one of those teams or whatever, like, yeah, Harrison, give us 12, 13. Oh, Harrison stepped up. If he didn't, fine. But like for a team that needs something out of spot, I just don't think it's the right spot for him with the Kings. As far as starting.
12 points per game last year. Mm. 3 rebounds and an assist. 47, 38, and 80. That's a...
I'm going to keep it real.
That's a very good bench player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a very good bench player and potentially a frustrating starter.
Yeah. That's what it is. But that's what my point, though. That's a very good bench player.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, that's not...
Yeah.
Oh, he's just a random bench player. Like I'm trying to.
Well, think. I don't. I think like, what
that's
I
not,
think. I think
not Nikhil Alexander Walker. That's better than him.
I think overqualified is what got me. Like he's overqualified to be a bench player. Like he's been a starter his career. Yeah, I think he's been a starter his whole career.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I guess in that sense,
I say overqualified because he can start on a good team. He can start on a good team. Here's my example. I don't know if Alexander Walker can start on a good team.
I got you.
You know what I mean? But he's a solid bench player for Minnesota.
Malik Monk overqualified to be a starter? Yeah, overqualified to be
absolutely
off the bench? Okay.
Absolutely. He's more overqualified than Nasri can start on a good team.
Okay. Bogey?
I'm just trying to create a category.
That's all I was trying to do. Matt George is going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm sure he'll either love or hate this conversation. I don't know which one it's going to be.
I think he's going to hate it.
I think he is too.
I already know what
but
I'm
at least
name
we're
the
not
YouTube
trading
segment.
Keegan today, so maybe
I think Matt might like it.
I don't know. It's his birthday. Maybe he's drinking.
I feel like me and Casey were a little misunderstood yesterday too.
Well, what are you playing, the martyr? You guys hate Keegan Murray. When it comes to Keegan, we're always misunderstood.
Yeah, weren't out here shipping him off for Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram.
Oh, no, isn't this cute?
But you guys want to hate us, you can hate us if you want.
Isn't this cute? Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty over here, the Rockers. Be careful, one of you are going through the barbershop window.
What did Joe say on the pod? He said, oh, I know when they've been talking outside the pod. Are they teaming up now?
That's your early too.
Yeah, no, he is. So he is just absolutely sick of this. He's like, I'm not waiting 10 more minutes. It's my birthday. I can join the show whenever I want to. I got a fresh haircut. The beard is cropped clean.
Very fresh.
First of all, happy birthday, Matthew.
Happy birthday, big dog.
Yeah, thanks. Screw all that. Oh. Y'all are not misunderstood as hell. What the hell are you talking about? You've been trying to trade Keegan Murray for 48
absolutely
hours.
Absolutely not. What are we talking about?
Jesse over there, Boston Celtics fan. Jesse just secretly wants Keegan Murray in Boston. He's just trying to plant the seeds here in Sacramento. KC loves the Lake Show. He's just trying to get Keegan Murray down in L.A.
Stop.
So wow. Look at the media. Look at the media LA working.
Murals. All y'all need to keep Keegan Murray out your mouth.
Whoa.
Keegan Murray ain't going nowhere. Keegan Murray is exactly what's needed here in Sacramento. It's my birthday. Well, don't talk about
hey,
trade.
Okay. Wait a second. First of all, we don't talk like that on this show, sir.
The game is the game. Hold on.
No, we don't talk like that on this show, sir. You need to settle down.
Yo. Sailor mouth Matt George.
Matt came
in. Yo.
Firing on his birthday.
No, we definitely don't want to trade Keegan Murray. We don't want to trade him.
You talked about it for an entire show.
Who was the guy we were talking about, though?
Mykal Bridges was one where like, we think about it.
That's where it starts, I think. And that's it. That's it. I don't think there's another guy. I feel like there was a second name.
Well, the Donovan Mitchells, I think. Those types or whatever.
That's not realistic at all. Yeah. At least not in my opinion. Matt George, ABC, I didn't realize you had to work on your birthday. Well, I knew you were joining us, but I didn't realize you like had to work on your birthday. So, either way, thanks.
I was about to ask. I was like, "What you got?" Now he's fully sports. I remember when Matt first went there, he might have to go cover graduations or something. Like that. But no, he's just fully sports.
No, I got an interview with our boy David Patrick today.
There you go.
I'm sat with DPs.
You already did it?
I'm doing with it a little bit later today.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Very good. We started the show. Maybe not started the show, but began talking during the show about Kyle Kuzma. Again, we've gone back to Kyle Kuzma. This is the circular nature of this NBA offseason for the Sacramento Kings. We're back to Kyle Kuzma, I think, because of a Jake Fisher report. The deal was pretty friendly. Kuzma's contract declines year after year after year after year. You ready to get on board for Kyle Kuzma here?
Real quick, Matt, before you answer, just for context for the people out there. I had the deal. The deal would be Trey Lyles, Sasha Vezinkov, Chris Duarte, and a 2029 first round pick for Kyle Kuzma.
No, without hesitation. Is that why would Washington accept that though?
Well, those are expiring contracts, and like they're probably Washington needs to pick a direction. What exactly are you trying to do here?
If that was all that it took player-wise, I'd throw in the 13 this year, make the pick, and then trade it over.
Kenny's always willing to give away more than you have to, which is fantastic.
Well, that doesn't seem like if I'm Washington and I'm trying to revamp things, what is 2029 first round pick going to do for me? Give me this year's first round pick.
I mean, I can tell he's always trying to give away Keegan Murray, apparently.
Yeah, that is not true.
That's true.
Not true.
But yeah, I mean, I absolutely make that deal 100%. I mean, I genuinely, like, gut feeling, guys, I think either one of Kuzma or Ingram is on the Kings come training camp time. One of the two of them. Ooh. It just makes too much sense. Those are two guys that fit the bill of what the Sacramento Kings need, and they're both available. It's go time for the Kings. Monty McNair said it himself. It's win now time. I think the Kings will get one of the two of those guys.
Walk me through, if you will, Matt, the Brandon Ingram situation in your mind. How does that materialize for Sacramento?
Well, first off, and joke aside, like, there's Keegan Murray is not included in the Brandon Ingram trade at all. Like, agreed. You go out and you get Brandon Ingram, and if you have to take the risk of losing him after 1 year, you really have to weigh the options of if that risk is worth it, or there has to be some sort of conversation about an understanding that we want you here long term. We're not just making this deal to make a rental. There are concerns with Brandon Ingram off the court. Nothing too extreme or absurd, but there's attitude issues and things like that that we heard with New Orleans. So, again, I don't think that's anything to overreact to too much, but Ingram has to understand that he's coming to Sacramento to be a third and sometimes fourth option guy behind Fox and Sabonis and sometimes Keegan, or maybe it might change to Fox and Keegan and sometimes Sabonis eventually on the offensive end if Malik Monk comes back as well. He has to kind of find his fit with that. Plus, Brandon Ingram's going to have to come here and play some pretty serious defense under the leadership of Mike Brown. That'll be the expectation. So I think Brandon Ingram makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. I think in many ways, he's like the top tier of player that you're going to be able to realistically acquire this offseason. But I don't know what that package looks like. New Orleans is not trying to blow it up like Washington is. They're still trying to be competitive right now, so they're not going to take your trash and just first-rounders for Brandon Ingram. They're going to want something in return. I don't know if Kevin Huerter or Harrison Barnes intrigues them at all, but yeah, there's no chance Keegan Murray's involved in that deal whatsoever. I think Brandon Ingram is attainable without trading away any of your core four guys, but I think that's where the conversation's going to be stuck, is what does that package look like, and is that package better than something else that another team might offer New Orleans for BI?
Well, and that's where Kyle Kuzma comes back into play, because you talk about New Orleans is still trying to win. They're going to be looking for guys, you know, that are going to help them win. Washington is not, and that's where a Trey Lyles, Sasha, Chris Duarte, and a pick or two, fine. Sure, we get Kyle Kuzma's money off the books, and we get these expirings. Sure, we're trying to get Cooper Flagg next year. We don't care. That's where he feels like he might be more attainable than anybody else out there for the Kings, considering the assets that they have or lack thereof. I'd ask you this, though. We asked this question, too. Trey Lyles, Sasha, Chris Duarte, a first-round pick. We'll forget the year. It doesn't really matter. Both New Orleans and Washington say, yeah, we'll do that. Which one are you going with?
The only reason to consider Kuzma over Brandon Ingram is the contract situation.
That's right.
That's the only reason.
Yep.
But player for player, it's not close. It's Brandon Ingram. I mean, Brandon Ingram, BI is exactly what you need. I think if that's the case, I think I take the risk and I go with Brandon.
Really?
I understand the contract. Plus, Kuzma's contract is actually really good, too, because it goes down by a few million every single year as well. Yep. It's very similar to not the current contract Harrison Barnes was on, but the contract Harrison signed with when Vlade Divac was here, that Ken Cantanella signed him to. So that it goes down every year, making it more and more tradable and more affordable as time goes on. So that's a good contract. And I'm not saying I don't think Kuzma can help the Kings. I think Kuzma absolutely could help the Kings. But if you're talking about a immediate, significant difference maker, Brandon Ingram is more of that guy to me than Kyle Kuzma is.
I'm a little bit... I don't disagree with you at all regarding the player. I'm surprised you're willing to take the risk.
Well, the risk to me is a lot easier when I mean, I love Trey Lyles, but he's the biggest name you're shipping out, and only one first round pick to get Brandon Ingram. Like, it's that's not that big of a risk to me. Now, if it's two plus first rounders plus a Kevin Herter or a Harrison Barnes, or even attach a Davion Mitchell in there to sweeten the pot a little bit to give them a young player that they like, now we're talking about that might not be worth the risk. But for the same exact package that you laid out there to get Kuzma, where it's those three essentially role players, one of them is the only one that actually has a designated playing time role here in Sacramento, and one first rounder to get an all-star caliber wing and Brandon Ingram, yeah, I take that risk for sure.
I like Brandon Ingram as a better player, just like everybody else. I think people are kind of sleeping on Kuzma. When it comes to this type of situation, Kuzma's a three-level scorer. He's more durable, and his contract is friendlier. Like, is Brandon Ingram, I guess what I'm looking at, is he that much of a better player than Kyle Kuzma where you disregard all the other stuff?
I think Brandon Ingram's a better scorer than Kyle Kuzma, and I think Brandon Ingram's a better defender than Kyle Kuzma. And the Kings need both. So, that's where I don't see – Kuzma, to me, doesn't have an edge over Ingram in any other way but, like you said, durability, which that's a pretty big edge if you can actually play.
He's a better rebounder, and that's been an issue here in Sacramento.
Sure, but you also have the league-leading rebounder in there, so it's not like Brandon Ingram or Kuzma are going to come in here and try to average 7 or 8 boards a game. Like, what the Kings need in abundance is perimeter defense and more of a go-to offensive option. Brandon Ingram can go and get you a bucket. Kuzma kind of can, but not in the way that Brandon Ingram can, in my opinion.
Okay.
If they end up with Kuzma, though, I'm cool with it. If they end up with either of those guys for the package that you laid out there, I think it's a very successful offseason. I don't think either team – the Pelicans laugh at that deal, and I think the Wizards still say no.
Yeah, I think the – well, I don't think I agree with that, at least as it pertains to the Wizards. Yes, the Pelicans laugh at it. That was a scenario we were presenting about – really about how you feel about the risk of Ingram and the risk of where he's at with his contract – and all of that versus, you know, the Kyle Kuzma situation, who not only has 3 years, Matt, but as you pointed out a moment ago, the years are declining. The numbers, excuse me, in the years are declining. And as far as Washington and New Orleans, New Orleans would never accept a deal like that. There's going to be, if Brandon Ingram is truly on the market, there's going to be a ton of teams that want to acquire him. If Kyle Kuzma's on the market, I believe he's going to have a market. And I think Sacramento could put something competitive together for him. And I would feel better as the offer got more competitive that, well, it's okay that the offer's got more competitive because Kuzma's here for the next 3 years. Whereas if it really becomes a fist fight to land Brandon Ingram, well, wait a minute. We're going to give all that up and then pray that he stays? I don't know.
Yeah, to me, especially, I think Kuzma being available gives the Kings the out. Now, they have to be careful because they can't string along Washington too long, but it gives them the out to have a maximum, a pretty comfortable maximum of this is the most we're willing to offer for an Ingram package, and if it doesn't happen, okay, we walk away. And I think Monty's already in that position. I don't think Monty is willing to empty the assets, so to say, for Ingram in this particular situation. I just don't think that's the guy necessarily that, like a Mikal Bridges, absolutely, you would empty the assets for a guy like that. Brandon Ingram, even though he's a really, really good player, given the circumstance of where the Kings are at, his circumstances, plus he's on the last year of his deal, I think that's where Monty's already going into that conversation going, yeah, we have a maximum, and we're going to let you know what that is right away. And we're not going past because we're not that desperate for that type of player in that situation. And Kuzma might give them kind of the plan B of, all right, Ingram didn't work out, but we can go get Kuzma for a cheaper deal. And he still comes in and addresses the big deal. The Kings are the Kings are a noticeably better team immediately if Kyle Kuzma's on this roster.
Agree. Yep, absolutely.
I think that's the move. Once again, there's better players out there, but the one that fits everything is Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma is the one that fits the level of assets that you have. He fits the contract situation. He fits the talent situation. Once again, Brandon Ingram is a better player than Kyle Kuzma, but that one, there's a lot of gymnastics that have to be done to get to Brandon Ingram, and a lot of outbidding that you're going to have to do that I don't know if you have the pieces to outbid a lot of people for Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. I think Kuzma is the one that is in the Kings' wheelhouse to realistically be able to do.
We point out, like Siakam, Ingram has a lot of control over what happens next, mm-hmm. because there's going to be that conversation with Brandon Ingram's agent. Hey, would he be open to staying here? And if the answer is no, it's like, all right. I can't, because a lot of teams, there will be, there'll be Masai Ujiri's, there'll be Toronto's who'll be like, all right, that's fine. I'll need a commitment from Kawhi. I want to acquire him now because I got a team that might be able to win a championship if we add him to it. And he was right. But there are a lot of teams who wouldn't be willing to take that risk. Mm-hmm. The Paul George Oklahoma City risk. It worked until it didn't, in that he re-signed there, but quickly, you know, it's what we talk about. A lot of guys sign contracts that they'll figure out later. Paul George was like, yeah, Oklahoma City, I'm partying with Russell Westbrook. Hey, man. Kawhi's going to the Clippers. I think I'd really like to go play with him. And shout out to Sam Presti for... Hey, Doc, Lawrence, this trade is for Paul George, but you know this trade is for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Mm. So you're going to give me everything I want.
Including a future MVP.
But, very much so. But most general managers aren't willing to take the risk that Sam Presti took to get Paul George and that Masai Ujiri took to get Kawhi Leonard. And I don't believe... I remember if it's Kevin Pritchard. I don't remember who runs the Pacers, but I don't think he took a risk at all. I think they had a conversation with Siakam's agent, and they've put themselves in that position. Ingram is going to be in the same exact position that Pascal Siakam was in February.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you. Those are the two most clear options to me, staring the Sacramento Kings in the face, and I think either addresses a need. It's still, I mean... still so much of this offseason to me that doesn't make up, neither of those moves to me make up for a loss of Malik Monk. It makes it easier for you to handle and easier for that pill to swallow. But I mean, a Malik Monk and Kyle Kuzma led Sacramento Kings, or Malik Monk and Brandon Ingram led Sacramento Kings offseason, I should say, in addition to the core that's already here. Now we're talking about a team that, assuming they can still play the level of defense that they played at the end of the season, now we're talking about a team that should be expected to be a top six team in the Western Conference, given how tough the West is. So, yeah. I mean, the options are there for Monty, and it's just about going and getting something done at this point. This can't be another, like we've talked about, this can't be another offseason of, hey, there's potential routes, but we're going to decide it's not the right time. Like, yeah. Now, you've said it yourself, now is the time. So if Kuzma or Ingram are the options, go out and get one of them.
The funny part, sorry,
no, you're good.
To me is that this isn't like a selling point by any stretch of the imagination, but with Kyle Kuzma, there's no scenario where they're worse. Mm. You know what I mean? Like if you acquire Kuzma, worst case scenario to me is you're the same. Which seems like a stretch to me, but that's the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be worse. With Ingram, you get worse if he doesn't sign. Because you've lost players, right? Like, you've lost players that have helped you. But with Kyle Kuzma, to me, with the way we've structured a variety of different deals, including your original deal of a bunch of draft picks, Casey, mm-hmm. they're not going to get worse. Again, I know that's not a selling point for anybody, but...
No, it's a great point, though.
Hey, guys, Sacramento Kings, not bad. Yeah, no one wants
it's
that.
It is a good point, though. It's kind of safe, to be honest with you. And I think I'm just, like, sitting here thinking about Brandon Ingram and, like, what it would take to get him. And if you're the Kings, you may think, oh, we might have a deal. We might have something to work out here. And then Donovan Mitchell decides he's going to sign. And the clutch says Garland wants out of here, and Cleveland calls the Pelicans. Are like, what you think about Garland and Jared Allen for Ingram? Like, that's the kind of stuff you're going up against that you just can't compete with.
Is there anyone in Cleveland you like, Matt? Because they're bordering on shambles, it feels like, at this point.
I mean, they have a lot of pieces that I like that just don't make sense for Sacramento. I'm not interested in Garland because you have an abundance of guards on this roster. Donovan Mitchell I absolutely love, but for what it's going to take to give up and then to bring him here in Sacramento, as much as I would have loved to have seen a Fox and Mitchell backcourt, I would have loved to have seen it coming into the league when you had the 5th and 10th pick and you screw that up. Donovan Mitchell, by the way, a 13th overall pick, which the Kings have 13 in this year's draft, so there is talent there. I don't know if you guys have looked at the history of 13. There have been a lot of really good players that have been drafted 13th. And yeah, of course, Kobe Bryant. But even recently, like Devin Booker was taken 13th. Zach LaVine was taken 13th. So there's some value at that spot.
So what Matt George is saying is the Kings can't trade the pick because Kobe Bryant
absolutely
will be there.
Not.
Somebody tweet it.
It's a good point.
Nope.
Basketball on X. Tweet it.
Did y'all learn nothing from the James Ham situation? Don't you be taking these out of context.
Engagement, Matthew. That's how you get engagement.
COE. Content over everything.
I think the Kings are trading 13. I think that pick is on the move come draft night. I just don't think adding a rookie to this roster is really in their best interest, but I guess it depends on the rookie. But to finish answering your question, like, I love Jared Allen too. Doesn't make sense next to Domas, just like Jonas Valanciunas, as much as I love him. Evan Mobley is the guy that they're trying to re-sign, so they're moving on from all these guys to try and make up the money to sign him to an extension. So yeah, Cleveland's not a partner, in my opinion, that I think the Kings should be too interested in.
Okay. Matt George says the Kings will trade Kobe Bryant this offseason.
Send it. Send it.
Send
for Vlade.
We'll come back. We'll talk more with our buddy Matt George. He is at the ABC 10 Studios. He is celebrating. How old are you today, Matt?
30. 3-0.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Really?
There we go.
Why are you kidding? 3-0. You're 30 years old?
I'm 30 years old, man.
The big 3-0. Life is just about to start.
I'm about to go buy a boat or something. I'm having a crisis.
Man, life is just about to start.
We met when you were 23?
Yeah.
Oh, God. No wonder you were unbearable.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We'll come back. Matt George, he's at the ABC 10 Studios. We're talking Kings basketball. We're talking basketball, and Jim will get his thoughts on the Western and Eastern Conference playoffs as well, and we'll continue to try to fix the Kings during this long off season here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Did the Kyle Kuzma, you know, story that's been getting pushed out there, the Jake Fisher one where he was talking about the asking price at the trade deadline was too rich.
Mm-hmm.
What was the asking price? Was that in the article? Was it multiple first-round picks?
Yeah, two first-round picks is what Washington was asking for.
Okay. All right.
Get that in a heartbeat over here, fellas.
Hey, Matt, were you surprised? I'll rephrase this. Were you as surprised as we were that Domas actually got the acknowledgement for All-NBA?
I was. I mean, I thought we were on a perfect trend of the NBA just being wrong the entire season, but I'm glad they got something right there at the very end. I thought it was great. He deserves that recognition. Look, he had a better season this season than he did last year, and he shouldn't be held back because the team lost two fewer games. I mean, he still led the league in rebounding, double-doubles, triple-doubles, shattered all sorts of records, beat Kevin Love's double-double streak, did things that only Wilt Chamberlain has done. Like, he was absolutely a top 15 player in the league this season. I'm glad he got that recognition for it. All the responses that I'm seeing on social media and all the ignorant people that don't actually watch Kings basketball or don't watch basketball, period, who claim that he doesn't belong there, that's fine. They can spout their nonsense and expose themselves as the fools that they are. Domas deserves to be there. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he got that recognition. Now he can get that recognition again next year when the Kings are still playing at this time of the year in the playoffs.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said.
I didn't get to see it. KC and I were kind of in a frantic moment of our KSFM show. Did Draymond Green have to announce Domas's name?
Oh, I didn't see that either.
I didn't see it either. I was actually on the road. I was driving.
Yeah, we got a tweet that Draymond having to announce it made it that much better, and I didn't. I was like, oh, no. Oh, I didn't get to see it. I didn't get to
I'm
see it.
I'm going to have to go back and try and find that.
Yeah, I need to.
On the third team, Devin Booker, my GOAT, Steph Curry, and Domantas Sabonis.
He grabbed my foot, y'all. He grabbed my foot. I was shocked. I didn't think he was going to make it.
I didn't think he was going to make it either, man.
I didn't think he was going to make it. And admittedly, as a Kings fan, I found a reason to be frustrated. They, like, De'Aaron wasn't even close. And that's fine, because we honestly thought, yeah, he lost a lot of steam. Well, Tyrese did too. Tyrese lost a ton of steam as the season progressed, but that didn't stop him from comfortably making the team. If De'Aaron had just missed it, it would have been like, ah, all right. Like, all right, it's fine. No, De'Aaron wasn't even close. They weren't even considering De'Aaron. It's like, we'll give sorry-ass Sacramento their one little nod for Domas because he had double-doubles or triple-doubles or whatever. Anthony Davis is still better than he is, but we'll keep it moving. Sacramento gets one nod.
The Kings missing the playoffs was a convenient excuse for these people to go, we acknowledged Sacramento enough last year because we felt we had to, and now we don't want to have to do it again. Like, that's really what it is. And I, to some extent, like, I understand that. That's fine. That's great. I mean, I know the Lakers have two of the greatest players, one of the greatest players of all time, and LeBron and Anthony Davis is a surefire Hall of Famer. Doesn't matter how bad the Lakers suck and sucked all year. Oh, they won the in-season tournament. Congratulations. They're terrible. But, I mean, they can still get two nods there, basically written in permanent ink. And initially when I saw it, because I looked at the teams in order, first, second, third, and I saw Anthony Davis on the second team, and I was like, wow, I'm ready to be pissed off when I don't see Domas on the third team. Then he showed up, and I felt a little bit better. I guess Anthony Davis deserves to be on the second team for every game that he played against people that weren't named Domantas Sabonis, because Domas rocked him and put him in his cradle every time they played.
Matt's spicy on his birthday,
no,
man. Matt's a little spicy on his birthday.
That's what's cracking me up.
Matt's a little spicy on his birthday. I'm here for it.
I understand everything you're saying. In a real moment, I'm sure Matt would agree. Anthony Davis had an All NBA caliber season.
Mm-hmm. You know what absolutely. I mean? So, yep. You know, All NBA 13.
Yeah, when he didn't play Domas.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, when he played Domas, he looked like a G leaguer.
Yeah, I mean,
but no, he did. He 100% did, and he's one of the best centers in the league. I think he deserves to be in that conversation. It's just convenient that the Kings can't have two All NBA players or two all-stars in a year like this. That rule just doesn't apply when you play for the Los Angeles Lakers or any other team that's not Sacramento, apparently. So yeah. Who knows?
No, you're right about that for sure. De'Aaron Fox, we went through, you know, the numbers and all this other stuff. The only player in the top 10 in scoring in the league to not be in the All-NBA selection, which is kind of crazy. The guy was
It fits nicely with being a top 10 scorer and not being an All-Star.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah,
they treated like he's on the Charlotte Hornets.
I was about to say there's a lot of disrespect for De'Aaron Fox this past season. That man put up, you know, the eighth best scoring season in the league this year, led the league in steals, and literally no acknowledgement from the league.
I'll drop a little teaser for you. I have a podcast episode coming. It's probably going to be my next episode later on this week. I have never believed in De'Aaron Fox more than I do right now. Even after a season where you missed the playoffs, after the great year that you had last year, I think De'Aaron Fox is, I mean, he's at a crazy level now, and it's not inconceivable to imagine him going a step further. Like, this was the first season that he had a high volume 3-point shot, and you saw him work and figure out how to incorporate that into his game. What does that look like next year? Like, to me, the biggest thing missing in De'Aaron's game, other than the fact that get him to the playoffs and he'll shine just like he did against the Golden State Warriors, and he would have done the same thing this year. He would have been even better in the postseason this year, mark my words. The main thing that's missing with De'Aaron Fox is what he looks like in months, and I think this is a Kings team issue as well, but Fox kind of leads it. What does Fox look like January and February? Like, that to me is, if Fox is the same in January and February as he is in November, December, and April, then Fox is undeniably an all-NBA talent, and the Sacramento Kings are undeniably a threat in the Western Conference. I have never believed, I'll go into this more on the podcast, but I do not believe, or I've never believed in De'Aaron Fox more than I do right now going into this season.
You know, I want to bring a phrase back that we've been using. I think it started earlier this week. I think we were talking about Keon, Harrison Barnes, Kevin Herter, guys like that. We're talking about Mike Brown guys. Like, who's a guy that like, that's a Mike Brown guy. He plays the way Mike Brown wants. And then we started using, you know, we've used this term before, a Monty McNair guy. We were talking earlier about Kuzma and Brandon Ingram. Do you think either of those guys are a Monty McNair guy? And do you feel like you can identify what a Monty McNair guy is?
I can definitely identify what a Monty McNair guy is in the draft. It's an older rookie, a more NBA-ready rookie. That's what Monty McNair, I mean, he's been very consistent with that throughout his history drafting here in Sacramento. He likes to go for more older NBA-ready rookies and less developmental projects, which also kind of fits the timeline of what he wanted the Sacramento Kings to do and where the Sacramento Kings are at. So I can definitely identify a Monty McNair prospect. A Monty McNair guy, here's the thing. I think a Monty McNair guy and a Mike Brown guy need to get on the same page. That's what I think this offseason is. This offseason is about getting the way you want to play and how you say you want to play and your roster to mesh, to be the same. Because right now you have a roster of guys led by a head coach that's telling you defense wins championships. Us scoring 120 points per game is not going to get it done, even though the Indiana Pacers, low-key right now, are trying to prove Mike Brown wrong. So it's another reason why we should be rooting against Indiana. But you have a coach that's saying this is the philosophy of how we need to win and how we're actually going to become a legitimate championship contender. And then you have a roster loaded with guys that are ready to score 120 points if they're on, right? And then you're asking for a former two-way guy to make a big defensive impact. You're asking for Davion Mitchell to make a big defensive impact. De'Aaron Fox leading the league in steals. There's defensive talent on this roster, but there's still a large portion of or part of this roster that just does not fit what Mike Brown is trying to do. So that, to me, this offseason is about getting all of that on the same page. A Mike Brown guy and a Monty McNair guy need to be close to the same this offseason, that both of them can agree and go out and get a guy or two or three, whether it's in the draft or free agency or trades or whatever, that fills your roster, that addresses what you are actually trying to do here.
I think I have a Monty McNair guy and a Mike Brown guy, and I think it's your fault. Kenny.
What I do?
KC.
What I do?
King KC underscore 916. Malcolm Brogdon.
Oh, boy.
Okay. First of all, I feel the same way. However, think about everything you just said. Doesn't Malcolm Brogdon feel like a Monty McNair guy? Now, think about what we know from Mike Brown. Doesn't Malcolm Brogdon feel like a Mike Brown guy?
Yeah, probably so. Is he a free agent?
I don't think so. I think he has
trying to figure that out.
I think he has
right
a year
now.
Left with Portland. Is it Portland?
Yeah, he's in Portland. Yeah.
Now, I don't know how or why. Is he a free agent?
No, he's got 1 year left, $22.5 million.
Oh, okay.
How much million?
$22.5 million. One more year left on his deal.
$22.5 million.
He got the bag.
$22.5 million.
Now you're on. You're on.
I don't see it. I don't know. Well, I can think of a why, but it's worst case scenario for Sacramento, so we don't need to do that. But you can figure it out for yourself given the positions. But yeah, you brought him up like. You didn't bring him up like on purpose, like meaning you didn't bring him up in context with a Kings conversation. And man, Malcolm Bree, shout out to Bonte Hill. Malcolm Brogdon's been living rent free in my head ever since you said that. I was like, you know, that makes sense. It makes sense as well as those guys. Of course, it only makes sense in the worst case scenario.
Yes.
Which is Malik's name.
And look, I'm not against Malcolm Brogdon being a king. Mm. You know, if he was
something that bugs me about Brogdon.
Yeah,
I just
but
can't figure out why he's been on so many teams.
If he was part of the team building process and the roster construction that the Kings should be trying to do this offseason, sure, as part of a piece of that. If he was headlining roster oh my gosh, this is not the move.
Yeah.
So it just all depends on what else you can get with him if he were to come to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. He's a throw-in piece on the Jeremy Grant trade?
Maybe.
That's a hell of a throw-in piece.
You're bringing back $300 million.
Jeremy Grant's already making $1 billion. You want to add $22 million more to that?
Yeah, why not? Why not? What was you about to say, Matt? You sound like you're about to cook something.
No? Yeah, not cooking anything. More just I don't know what it is about Brogdon too, and I can't explain it. Like I do see how, like you say, he can fit kind of the mold of what Monty and Mike like. I also think if we're talking about Monty and Mike guys, I think Chris Duarte was kind of supposed to be that.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And he flopped. And I don't know how much patience the Kings have with Duarte. Because coming into the season, I can tell you firsthand, Mike Brown was very excited to have Chris Duarte on this team. Come the end of the season, Chris Duarte was not playing. And when he was playing, he looked lost. And if he was maybe playing about good defense, he wasn't knocking down threes. And he was seemingly fouling everybody every time he touched the floor. So I don't know if you necessarily give up on Chris Duarte, but Chris Duarte was one of those signings this past offseason, not named Sasha Vezenkov, where like, wow, this could be an actual difference maker. And very, very quickly, even with Mike trying to insert Duarte into the starting lineup a couple times, very, very quickly, I think it dawned on everybody, including members of the Kings organization, yeah, this is not as big of an impactful piece as we thought.
Davion became what they wanted Chris Duarte to become, it seems like.
100%. I think so. Davion no pause, keep your flags. Davion just needs a few more inches. Like if Davion was a few inches taller, stop, you all children. You know what I mean. If he's a few inches tall, God, I hate this show. You know what? Screw it.
No, if you had just said if he was a little bit taller. If yeah, you hadn't phrased it the way you phrased it the first time.
What I meant. No, you can't complain about flags when you're just as guilty of it.
I didn't do anything. I'm sitting here minding my own business.
This is the culture. You planted these seeds.
Oh, I'm a broadcast journalist.
No, that was crazy.
It was not that crazy. I prefaced it.
I think you gotta say pause afterwards, Matt. I agree with you earlier.
I pre-paused.
Well,
you pre-paused.
Well, I understand, but I think after would have a better effect.
The pre-pause. Fire, that's a solid technique.
Forget it. The Kings, shut up.
What?
I hate this show.
No, you don't.
Y'all,
no,
this,
you don't.
This summer has been John Fisher propaganda followed by trading Keegan Murray. This
show's
man. Just gone into the toilet.
Man.
I think Matt said I was doing John Fisher propaganda that one time he came on.
Yeah, when you two were fighting, I wasn't here for that. I was watching. I was like Michael Jackson with the popcorn.
I was doing John Fisher propaganda, and I said he's a scam artist.
Yeah, stop. Well,
you stop doing propaganda. If John Fisher gets the A's in Vegas, then he'll start spending money on the team.
No, that's not what I said. I said that's not what a scam artist does. Scam artists will start spending money, take everyone's money, and then revert back to their old ways.
That's right. You said that's right. You were trying to tell me that John Fisher would spend money on the Sacramento A's roster. That's what you're trying.
Well, because they'd be going to Las Vegas, not just staying here in Sacramento, but a year before they go to Vegas. That's how you get everybody's money. How are you gonna get everybody's money any other way? You got to trick them or try to. That's all it is.
Not on my birthday. We don't need to talk about this on my birthday.
What you doing for your birthday, man? I mean, I know you got to work, but are you like? You got a dinner? You got what you got going on?
I'm going to Disneyland next week with my fam. That's about it.
When's the last time you went to Disneyland?
Two years ago.
Oh, okay.
This is the last time we can go before our son costs money.
Oh,
Disneyland,
there you
expensive.
Go. That's good
man.
Thinking. Yeah, that's good thinking.
No, two tickets for the Brit and I for 2 days, $750.
Oh,
come on, man.
$750 for 2 days.
I guess Ryan just ain't never gonna see Disneyland.
Oh,
that way!
Wow,
I just got fleeced by a mouse.
Crazy! That is crazy. They said,
is it all inclusive? What do you get?
Are you staying at Disneyland? Like you're staying at the hotel?
No, I'm not rich. I don't have courtside Kenny money. Like you have to.
I've never done that. I've never
$500 to $600
when I was
younger. To stay at like one of the Disney hotels. No, we're staying at a hotel like across the street, but that's still, I mean, that's still expensive, but
Matt,
not as much as the Disney hotels.
Did you know when Casey goes to Disneyland, Mickey and Minnie wake him up?
Yeah, in Cinderella's castle. He stays in Cinderella's castle.
That's right.
I've never gone to the time I went to Disneyland. I was living in Los Angeles.
It's like the opening scene in Coming to America where they throw rose petals at his feet, but it's Mickey, Minnie, like Donald, Goofy. It's like a parade of the Disney characters.
I don't even like
throw
the
rose petals at his feet.
So what you said is you drove down from the Hollywood Hills to go to Disneyland.
I definitely didn't live in the Hollywood Hills.
No, Matthew, he was in Los Angeles. His driver took him down Hollywood Hills.
That's a good point.
Have you guys ever driven in the Hollywood Hills?
And slummed it into Anaheim.
We've never been to the Hollywood Hills. Not like you.
They don't let our types in there, Casey.
Stop it. You can drive up there, and it is terrifying. I don't know why people would live up there.
Yeah, it is not fun.
What are they doing?
Well, because it's scary to drive up there, so they just figure people won't. Some of the views are phenomenal.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Some of the views are incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible, Matt. How'd you feel about the Western Conference Finals last night?
Ooh, man! God, what a great game! I mean, it's got to be frustrating from the standpoint of when you're taking on a team like the Dallas Mavericks when Kyrie can go for 24 in the first half, and then he can cool down, and the team is it's not better. But like the Mavericks didn't skip a beat, and Kyrie completely cooled off in the second half because it was Luka's turn.
Yeah,
like that's to have a team that have two guys that are capable of being number ones that have figured out how to coexist. Because I remember when that trade happened, man, I was like, I don't know how Kyrie and Luka are going to work together, but they figured it out. Whether it's as simple as splitting the game in half. I mean, it's already split in half. You get the first half, I get the second half. Let's go out there and win. I don't know how if they can do that four times, they're making it to the NBA Finals. Mm. Like that was just I don't know how you beat that. And I like the Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves definitely will make this a series. I think it's going six or seven games. Like, but that version of the Dallas Mavericks is just like, man, good luck. When Luka can coast to the second half and then explode, or Kyrie can come out of the gate and use all of his energy in the first half, and then the second half just be a presence that you have to fear defensively. That's good luck beating that.
Yeah. I love this version of Kyrie, man. Who you got tonight?
I got Boston.
Are you sold at all on the Pacers? I don't think we've got to talk to you about this yet. Are you sold at all on the Indiana Pacers?
I think the Indiana Pacers are much better than I expected. I gave them credit for. I also feel like game one was their best shot. I don't think they're going to get swept. I think game one was their best shot. And I think what we saw at the very end is very fitting of a team that has not been there before, especially Tyrese. Like, Tyrese turned the ball over a lot. The Pacers had that game won, and they turned the ball over so many times, but especially at the end of the game down the stretch to basically punt that game away. I think the Pacers will get a game, but it's a massive difference being up 1-0 and taking home court advantage than losing a close game, losing game two, and now you're down 0-2 going home. Like, it's obvious, but that's a mental massive advantage or disadvantage, rather, to have had that game in your lap, especially the first game in Boston, and to let that fumble away. I think Boston looks better tonight, and I think Boston's more ruthless tonight, and I think they win more comfortably tonight.
Mm. I wholeheartedly disagree, but I'll say this. We talk so much about Indiana, the turnover, everything Matt said about the Pacers, 1,000% correct. Please don't let Jalen's shot get lost in all of this. Jalen's shot to tie the game was insane.
Oh, and unbelievable.
It was absolutely. I mean, Matt, everyone's 100%. They gave him that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But that was a phenomenal shot.
That's fact.
With Siakam just in his grill, trying not to foul, but being as close as possible. Just a tremendous shot by Jalen. We're headed off for the weekend. We appreciate you so much for being with us. Matt George, happy birthday, my friend. Thank you so much for all you do with us. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. We will see you back here Tuesday, beginning at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.